Welcome to Offbeat Columbus. I'm your host, Matt Ward. I'm a father, husband, cynical realtor, demotivational speaker, mediocre mushroom hunter, formerly traveled stand-up comedian, and completely unqualified spiritual guide. Each week, we will bring you the weird from around Columbus, Ohio, and beyond. Thanks for joining me. Episode 5, Attack of the Karens.
She thinks it's cute that her driver almost hit my kid. And she thinks she needs to take a video of it. Instead of apologizing like a steak.
So stomping in the middle of the road is going to help?
You being a bitch is going to help?
This week, we'll talk about the Clintonville Amusement Park. We will discuss No Mo May. We will go over a list of ruined names, feature a drag queen who has made a business out of baking cookies, check in on this week's Florida Man, the real estate flashback house of the week, and I'll read my commencement speech I wrote for the class of 2020. I really have a problem with littering. I feel it's something that really illustrates the character of a person, more so than other deplorable activities. I'd be okay with someone picking their nose, but people who litter, I feel like, really don't care about anybody but themselves. They're just terrible people in general. You're never going to have a good relationship with someone who litters. You're not going to find a wonderful person that just loves to toss a full bag of Wendy's on the side of the road when they're driving down the highway because they don't want to find a place to throw it away. No, that person is terrible, and they likely beat their spouse and their dog, and there's no use for them in society. I think if we had prison camps, they should be entirely made up of people who litter repeatedly, serial litterers, and they can be the ones that clean up the highway exclusively. I did want to let you guys know that I found morel mushrooms this week. Yes, I did. I looked all through the woods and could not find them at all. I tried to time the weather, tried to time the rain, everything. Looked for the right trees, nothing. Then I did a final walkthrough for a client on their house out in the country. And not inside the house, fortunately, but right outside the house in the mulch. Three large yellow morel mushrooms about the size of my hand. And I brought them home, and I cooked them up. I was excited to share them with my family, and I remembered them very fondly from my childhood, and my family had no interest whatsoever, my son and my wife, no interest in eating those at all. They just looked too weird. Not store-bought enough, I guess. I don't know. But I ate them, and they were not as good as I remembered them, but it may have been the recipe I used to bread them. They just tasted like some type of meat-free chicken finger or something like that. But I succeeded. I'm now a mediocre mushroom hunter. Oh, and I bought a house. Yes, lots of stuff has gone on in the last 30 days. Besides not getting to see or hug most of my friends and family, I got to buy a house here in Uptown Westerville. My family has lived in Uptown Westerville for the last almost 4 years. It'd be 4 years in September. We moved right here when we came back to Ohio. Stayed with a friend for a little while in another part of Westerville and then moved up here in Uptown Westerville. And I've met a lot of cool people in a very short period of time while living here. So we're pretty excited about buying a house. And yes, it was a grandma house, as many of you who talk to me regularly know I refer to constantly, which a grandma house is a house where the mechanicals are solid, everything is intact and working, but it just has some grandma touch to it. Some wallpaper, some wood paneling, some maybe outdated appliances, lots of formica. We are excited. We're moving in at the end of May, and I will have an official studio for this podcast and broadcast there at the new location, which is only about 5 blocks from where I am recording this right now. So it's no mow May. You know, got no shave November. You've got, I don't know, there was some mustache growing thing that started at the beginning of quarantine, but I didn't really follow it completely. But now it's no mow May. And this is with the purpose of helping out the bee population and also kind of spearheading what bees do for the rest of the ecosystem. So yeah, guys, what do you think about not mowing your grass? I'm kind of more on board with the plant some fucking flowers. You know, your grass isn't going to turn into flowers besides maybe dandelions. Those are helpful. Then you can make a big-ass dandelion salad. But maybe just plant more flowers. That would probably be more helpful to the pollinating species out there. Now it's time to talk about how the world's largest amusement park used to be in Clintonville, right here in Columbus. This article is from touringohio.com. Everyone is probably familiar with today's famous water parks like Zumbezi Bay and Kings Island, the beach, the Great Wolf Lodges, but did you know that Columbus had its own water park? The property occupied today by Olentangy Village was once an amusement park. The park was first called the Villa and was opened in 1893 by Robert Turner. In 1896, the Columbus Street and Railroad Company bought the property, renaming it Olentangy Park. It quickly gained renown as one of the city's most beautiful spots. In 1899, the Dusenberry brothers purchased the park, which then featured a small merry-go-round. The Dusenberries built a theater, dance pavilion, and rides such as the Loop the Loop, Whirlwind, and Shoot the Chutes. During the 44 years the park was opened, it featured four roller coasters, Red Devil, Racer, Figure Eight, and Whirlwind, the Ye Olde Mill, a swimming pool, two Ferris wheels, a pony track, a train ride, two carousels, and many more attractions. A spacious dance hall was constructed along the arcade, and throughout the park's life, the dance hall would bring Columbus residents performances by virtually every big band of the era, including Jimmy Dorsey and the Glenn Miller Orchestra, as well as many famous comedy and vaudeville acts. An open-air amphitheater was built near the theater, allowing local brass bands to perform open-air concerts. By the end of the 1910s, Olentangy Park had become the largest amusement park in the United States, dwarfing other trolley parks such as Pittsburgh's Kennywood and even Sandusky's own Cedar Point. In 1938, the park was sold to L.L. Levesque and turned into Olentangy Village Apartment Complex. Today, the only remainder of the park is the swimming pool at Olentangy Village and the original Grand Carousel that is now located and in regular operation at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. So pretty interesting that at one time, one of the largest amusement parks in the country was right here in Columbus in the Clintonville area. Now, they didn't mention this in these articles, but I know it as a fact. Before the Olentangy Park became as popular as it was, Minerva Park was another amusement park located in northeast Columbus in now what is Minerva Park that had also bandstands, a lake, lots of roller coasters and things like that. Now we're going to take a moment to check out a local business. Do you like drag queens? Do you like sugar? What about cookies? Of course you do. Check out Plenty of Cookies, a company that creates custom cookie designs for you and even can help you throw your own cookie party. What's the best part? Well, in my opinion, it's Plenty of Cookies YouTube channel, where the queen of the cookies, Miss Plenty of Smiles, drinks and teaches you how to make your own cookie. Or cookies.
Guess what? We are decorating cookies again. And to be festive, I made myself a margarita. Guys, look what we're decorating. A margarita glass. So here we go. Okay, so go ahead and outline all of it. Ooh, I'm so excited for this cookie. You don't even know. Have more margarita. Also, if you're not doing it already, get metal straws. Let's save the world. Well, we have to wait a minute. We have to wait. I'm very impatient. while we're waiting, have a sip of your tea, margarita, wine, whatever you feel like drinking right now. Usually I drink water, but during these videos, I enjoy a cocktail. Why not? Okay, so I got impatient and I decided to get my blow dryer because I want this to dry right now. Let's sprinkle some sugar on her. Pour some sugar on me. In the name of cookies, pour some sugar on me. Thank you for joining us today. She's done, you're done. We're all done.
So check out Plenty of Cookies on plentyofcookies.com or Plenty of Cookies on Facebook and order some custom cookies today or even a future dated cookie party, because that sounds like a fucking blast. Now it's time to talk about ruined names. With the online outrage at its peak, in-person outrage has been limited to white people going to Menards without a mask at this point. We've seen some first names being turned into pejoratives. This is something that happens occasionally, and we're in that stage right now. I think we can all agree that some names no longer can be used as baby names when their mere mention conjures up images of customer service escalations and calls to the police. Whether it be Becky busting up the barbecues or Karen telling us that all lives matter, some names may never recover. There may never be another Felicia. Bye, girl. Unless Monster Energy Drink is made with sperm, Kyle will likely be a rather unpopular name in 2020. I mean, no more Chad, y'all. The name implies a certain undesirable personality, but it doesn't get any better with its bevy of similar definitions on Urban Dictionary implying it's some type of stinky buildup between a dude's balls and asshole. Of course, we won't see many Carols in 2020 because, well, Carol fucking Baskins. What about a girl named Alexa? Do you think that's possible in this day and age?
I'm not sure.
Nope, you'd better think again. Everyone's got one of those. The only one I'm on the fence about is Donald. We either in for a boatload of more kids named Donald, or nary a one. Regardless, I think we can all agree the Donalds of the world will be the last ones we want to be behind in line at Walmart. This isn't anything new. We've been ruining names for decades. It's why you don't run into many people named Chester, thanks to that molester rhyme. Or Dick, because we are phallus-obsessed anymore. Even cartoons have ruined names. For example, Timmy. And State Farm has all but ground the occurrences of the name Jake to a halt. And how can we forget the 70-year absence of children named Adolf? So what would we do besides name our children oddly spelled versions of Amy, slightly varied versions of Brandon, Brendan, Braden, Broden, Branton, Brindley, Brandley, Brindley, Brockton, or Brindolin? How about throwing back to some old people names? You could use Bertha, Earl, Myrtle, Albert, Gertrude, Clarence, Murray, or even Gaylord. I like that one the most. What do you think? What's the worst name that you could call your child right now? Hit me up on Instagram @offbeatagent and let me know. Now it's time for
Florida Man.
This week's segment took a while to put together. The majority of the Florida Man news stories were just sad. From a 36-year-old telling a child to fight him like a man to a COVID-19 doubter who ended up changing his mind when he got the virus. Then I found it. A story where a man in power gets his comeuppance. This article is from May 11th from the Sarasota Business Observer. FCCI insurance CEO arrested for alleged battery on an officer and other charges. Craig Johnson, there's another name, Craig, ruined. Chairman, CEO, and president of FCCI Insurance Group, one of the Sarasota Manatees region's largest employers, has been arrested for allegedly resisting arrest and battery on a police officer. Johnson, authorities say, was both physically and verbally abusive to officers after a disagreement at a restaurant and said officers would pay because his friendship with the Sarasota sheriff. Johnson, in a statement emailed to the Business Observer on May 8th, denies the allegations. The CEO of FCCI since April 2011, Johnson, 51, was charged by a Sarasota police officer stemming from an incident that took place May 7th at Wicked Cantina, just north of downtown Sarasota. The owners and employees of the restaurant, according to a probable cause affidavit filed with the Sarasota Police Department, asked Johnson and two people he was with to leave due to their high level of intoxication and that they were instigating arguments with other customers. When police arrived at 9:40 p.m. on May 7th, Johnson allegedly continued to refuse to leave and became aggressive, the report states. Police say Johnson then swung a closed fist at an officer, missing contact, and then shoved two officers. Johnson was taken to the ground and handcuffed, the affidavit states, and while being escorted to the vehicle, he began ranting about his personal relationship with Sarasota Sheriff Tom Knight and that the officers would pay. Officers say Johnson kept resisting, falling to the ground to avoid being placed in the car, and then refusing to lift his feet into the vehicle in an attempt to stop the door from being closed, whining and kicking like a tiny little man-child. Johnson continued to rant, the Sarasota police affidavit states, and stated to officers, "I'm going to knock you out," and that officers were responding like they were going to a black neighborhood. Wow, good job, Craig. Johnson was charged with two counts of battery on an officer, one count of resisting an officer, obstruction without violence, and one count of trespassing, failing to leave a property by owner, according to the Sarasota County Clerk's Office. Johnson posted $1,000 bond and was released on May 8th. In its statement, FCCI said the executive vehemently denies the allegations and expects to be fully vindicated from the wrongdoings. The board has spoken directly with Mr. Johnson and has accepted his denial. We anticipate that the factual underpinnings of the events will become more fully developed and established. We have no doubt in Mr. Johnson's integrity and ability to lead the company. Oh yeah? Well, you fired him. Days later, after this article was produced, they fired that motherfucker. Hell yes. Johnson, considered a rising star in commercial insurance and within FCCI, was named CEO in April 2011 when he replaced longtime leader G.W. Jacobs, who had retired. The company's revenue has grown at least 60% under Johnson, from $529 million in 2012 to $850 million in 2018. The company has some 850 employees. Johnson, in his nearly decade at the helm of FCCI, has developed a reputation, has been an approachable CEO, often holding coffee town halls and dressing up for Halloween skits. He recently held Corona with Craig video meetings updating employees on the company's pandemic response. Well, what a zany thing to do before you got your ass fired. Maybe you shouldn't have said something about they were treating you like they would treat someone in a black neighborhood. That seems like a pretty poor choice of words. How many Jaeger shots do you have to do in order to lose your $300,000 a year CEO pay? Like, how many Jaeger bombs does it take? Was it Fireball? It's got to be Jaegermeister or Fireball that got Craig fired. And now it's time for the Real Estate Flashback House of the Week. This from the Columbus Dispatch, July 28, 1985. 328 Highland Avenue in Worthington, a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath, 1,880-square-foot house built in 1969. The asking price was $96,500, and the sales price was $94,000. If you want to take a look at the pictures of the property that from the most recent time it sold, which looks probably exactly like it did in 1985, you can check out the notes to this episode. The family were in a neighborhood, and the master suite appealed to the buyers of this 30-year-old two-story colonial home, said listing agent Rosemary Ritter of the Ritter Company Realtors, 2280 West Henderson Road. I have to stop for just a second and say that I love this about the Real Estate Flashback House of the Week, that it never has a real estate company that's in business anymore. And back in the day, back in the 80s, all real estate companies were like someone's name company. That was all that existed. There was no big box brokerage. There was no Remax. It was none of that. The custom-built house with aluminum exterior has a two-car garage and a basement. There is a patio in the fenced yard. The first floor plan includes a foyer with a guest closet, formal living room, and dining rooms, eat-in kitchen, half bath, and family room with wood-burning fireplace. Ritter said the large master bedroom with full bath and three other bedrooms and a full bath complete the upstairs. Included in the sale of the house, which has gas heat and central air conditioning, were the range, refrigerator, and dishwasher. Children in the neighborhood attend Worthington schools. Home prices in the neighborhood range from $80,000 to $120,000, Ritter said. Worthington Square provides the closest shopping, and residents have access to I-270. Jolene Plunkett, broker at Care Real Estate, 2955 Donnydale Boulevard, was the selling agent. The buyers purchased their home with a conventional mortgage. And the home was last sold in 2018 for $285,000. Again, you can see those pictures if you go to the show notes. I wanted to make a quick plug for those of you who are struggling during this economic instability and need some help and have pets. There is now a new pet assistance program that has opened in Columbus. It is Columbus Humane's program. Columbus Humane now offers a new program that helps feed your pets. Columbus Humane says it's offering a supplemental pet food assistance program for Central Ohio. The group states the program will help them keep pets and their families together. For more information, you can go to the show notes, or you can click on, or you can go to columbushumane.org and find out more information. I think this is a fantastic program, and I'm excited for them to be doing it. Thank you, Columbus Humane. And now we're going to wrap this episode up this week with a commencement speech that I've written for the high school seniors that are graduating here in 2020. Thank you, everyone. Aren't you glad it's over? The majority of people graduating who can hear my voice are glad it's over. Yes, socially distant Zoom graduations suck. However, I think they're the perfect metaphor for what you're about to experience firsthand. Life, oftentimes, is beyond your control. You can work hard to get in on the honor roll, or be good enough at sports for a scholarship, and then right when everything is about to conclude, and you're about to move forward in beginning your adult life, everything changes. The college football team you were planning to start playing for in the fall suspends its entire season. The field which you intend to study evaporates, and you have no fucking clue what you're going to do about it. Reevaluate. Look at what you were about to do that you had no hand in disrupting, and ask yourself, did I really want to do that anyway? More than any other generation in our history, you have decided that experience is more important than possessions. Purpose is more important than salary. And most of all, that the world around you needs nurturing. You own the world now, not the world that's currently controlled by your parents and your grandparents, but the world where you will raise your children and your grandchildren. What you decide to do with the hand that you are dealt is more important than it has ever been. What has my generation and the generation before me left you? Uncertainty, debt, inequality, and much less opportunity. And for that, I say, I'm sorry. So what should you do to stop this train from crashing? Go out and see the world and how people live everywhere. Take risks. Get your heart broken. Learn something new every chance you get. Try new foods. Befriend people from different cultures. Appreciate the contributions of your ancestors, but don't imprison yourself in their heritage. Be ready and willing to adapt at a moment's notice. Fuck college. Fuck the corner office. Fuck the 30 under 30. Fuck a pension and a white picket fence. Figure out the bare minimum you need in order to be happy. What you will find in the end is that you've had it this whole time. Thank you.